May I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. If you have ever listened to or read some of Jesus' parables and thought to yourself, I wonder what that means exactly. Well, take heart, you are not alone. Even his disciples who heard him teaching day after day had to sit down with him sometimes and say, that parable, can you explain it to us? We don't get it. We know that when Jesus told the parable of the wheat and the weeds, it was one of those occasions, and we know that because Luke tells us so. But even the explanation then requires close attention and thought. It's easy to rush to the conclusion that the weeds are bad people, individuals who will be sent to hell. And certainly that does seem to be a possibility from Jesus' explanation. We can't rule it out. But that's probably too simplistic, because Jesus doesn't just say that evildoers will be rooted out, but that all causes of sin will be removed. And then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. In other words, when all causes of sin have been removed, the children of God will be revealed. And that matters because it is the children of God who will then reveal God's kingdom on earth. And it's not just we who hope to be among those shining righteous who wait for that day. St. Paul tells us that the whole of creation is waiting for it, longing for it. Because when that day comes, when the causes of sin are removed and the children of God are revealed, creation itself will be liberated from suffering and decay. What you might wonder is the connection between the removal of the causes of sin, the revealing of the children of God so that they shine like the sun, and creation's freedom from bondage and decay. And that link, very simply, is human sin. I'm sure you're all familiar with the creation story in the opening chapter of Genesis. And that story tells us that we have been given dominion over the earth and over other creatures. Dominion is all about being God's representatives on earth. It's a concept that crops up elsewhere in the Old Testament, notably in relation to the kings of Israel who had dominion over the people. For them, dominion or rule over God's people meant that they had responsibility to create and preside over a just society, to be good shepherds of God's flock. Most of them failed miserably, of course, but that's not the point. The point is that dominion meant exercising God's just and loving rule. That's the dominion we are to have over creation, presiding over a world of peace and justice for all creatures and for the world, the earth itself. Sadly, like the kings of Israel, humanity has mostly failed in this task, often due to the various causes of sin in our world, human greed, injustice and equality, and the structures of society that make it easier to harm than to heal. St. Paul understood this. He writes that creation has been subjected to futility not by its own doing, but by human sinfulness. But when the causes of sin are removed and the children of God are revealed and shine like the sun with righteousness, then creation will, in Paul's words, obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. Freedom from decay, destruction, and cruelty. One day we will reach the goal that God set for creation, with all life flourishing together. We can't, of course, know when that day might be, and we can't get there entirely on our own. But that doesn't give us permission to do nothing in the meantime. As Christians, we are called to live the life of God's kingdom in the here and now. Our lives should be a foreshadowing of what is to come. We are to reveal to creation our true identities as children of God, exercising God's loving, caring, just, and gentle rule over creation. As Paul writes, not living according to the flesh, that is, human-y things, but according to God's love and law. God did not make the rest of creation in order that we might exploit it to our own advantage, but created us, beings capable of understanding the impact that our actions have on others and capable of moral thought and decision-making, to take care of the rest of creation. Currently, many parts of the rest of creation are subject to appalling bondage and futility. Wild creatures suffer from loss of habitat, climate change and the effects of pollution. We're seeing now the devastating impact of wildfires in this country and in Canada and elsewhere in the world. Other creatures are being hunted to extinction to satisfy human whim. Millions of domesticated animals suffer cruelly in factory farms. Intensive farming is also damaging land and rivers. Industrial fishing and plastic pollution killing our oceans. Society's relentless consumption is depleting the Earth's resources, and our idolization of technology is leading to the growth of mega data centers that take up valuable land and use vast amounts of water and energy, harming the environment and taking resources from communities. Creation waits for us to be revealed as the people God made us to be, those careful, loving stewards of creation, exercising benign dominion that benefits all. That doesn't have to wait until the end of time. We can be those people today if we can live by the grace of God's Spirit within us, sacrificing those things in our lives which cause harm to one another and to creation, and embracing those things that will be a blessing to each other, to the earth, and to all its creatures. Amen.